Morning, morning. Boker Tov. Today's daf is Bava Metzia Daf Chav Tes. Moving along, Bava Metzia Daf Chav Tes. We are a little bit behind with Chav Ches Amud Beis. We didn't quite get to the Mishnah towards the bottom half of the page. We're a little before that. Amar Rav Safra. We left off Amar Rav Safra. We are a few lines before the Mishnah. Let's pick a few lines before the Tudats even. Before the Mishnah. So Rabbi Uri is saying we left off Amar Rav Safra. Let's pick it for Amar Rav Safra smack in the middle of the page. Amar Rav Safra. La'ilam glima machriz. I think we probably didn't stop right there. Okay, but we'll start from there. La'ilam glima machriz. We had a machlek is whether or not the mitzi, the finder of the Aveda, calls out the word Aveda, I found the lost item stam, or he calls out, I found the shirt. Is being more specific. So Rav Safra says, I'll tell you really, you call out Klima Machriz. Amar Iu Glima, Vama Iu Samanim. The case of the Mishnah is where the guy who found it said, I found a Glima shirt. And the Baal Aveda says, he gives over Samanim. We said in the Mishnah, Maile Amar Samanim. We said in the Mishnah, if the guy doesn't say the Samanim, he can't return it. I was talking about my case, you give me Samanim. The Mer explains, Amar Samanim Muvakim Shabbai. He didn't give over the Samanim Muvakim. He didn't give over the specific Samanim, only general Samanim, and general Samanim is not enough. I see we just lost the Zoom. Give me a second. Says more further, a Ramai, Afabisha Amar Samanah, Ares Leitin. So he said in the Mishnah, a Ramai, even if he says the Siman, a Ramai, even if he gives the Samanim, you don't give back to him. Tanabanim, Bishanim, Kobisha, Aveda, Hainais, Samanim, Naila. And initially, anyone who lost an Aveda would give Samanim and retrieve it, take back the Aveda. Mishra Brahman, but once it became rampant, Ramam that made sure to look around and see what. You know, people's items look like, and then would give Samanim, pretending it's theirs, and taking it back. They would tell the Ramai, say about Edom, lav Ramai at, go bring Edom, that you're not a Ramai, Vitul, and then you could take it back. Actually, this is what we have to. We pointed out, what does it mean, bring Edom? It means bring Edom either, tip of 2 days ago we said bring Edom means, bring Edom, the Cheftz is yours. Over Pashtas, bring Edom means, that the other option we had said a couple of days ago, which is bring character witnesses, bring Edom, that you are of proper character, and we don't have to be concerned about you. The father of Rapapa, he lost a donkey, and then it was found. So Rav Papa's father came in front of Rav Arfuna to claim it. Bring witnesses that you're not a Ramai, and then you'll be able to take the donkey, obviously with Samanim, but then you can take the donkey. But step one is bring witnesses you're not a Ramai. So Rav Papa's father went and bore Edim. Amaluhu Yadisume de Ramai. So Rav Arfuna asked the witnesses, do you know whether he's a Ramai? And were they in? And the response was yes. Now, they weren't the simple translation of the words were that Rabbi Arfuna asked, do you know if he's a Ramai? And they said, yes. So it could be, yes, we know if he's a Ramai, or it could be, yes, he is a Ramai. That's the more simple taish, yes, he's a Ramai. But the issue, of course, is that Rav Papa's father was bringing Edim that were against him, not for him. So says Gemara, Amalu Ya'in, Amalu Anaramana. So Rav Papa's father was standing right there and said, what? I'm a Ramai? Amalei, no. They said, no, we were saying you're not a Ramai. We know about you whether you're a Ramai, meaning that you're not a Ramai. So Amrav, Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, not a problem of them retracting testimony, not an issue. You know why? It's pasha that when a person brings witnesses to back him up, these aren't witnesses that are going to be a chayv for him. And therefore, what they meant the whole time was, we know whether he's a Ramai, and the answer is no. They misunderstood the Shachar B'Taya, then first I explained even a little better, or the answer is a little more succinct, and that is that they were expecting a question: is he not a Ramai? Is he someone trustworthy? And they just blurted out, yes, he's trustworthy. Not realizing the question was, is he a Ramai? Then the answer should have been no. But the point is, Avadi, their intent the whole time was to verify his emunas, and ultimately they're doing that, and therefore it's fine. Suck the Mishnah. When it comes to Metzia, the person who finds it has to tend to it, deal with the item. Certain items require more expense. You don't have to cover the expenses. You deal with it, and then when you return the item, you're going to deduct the expenses. So items that require more expense, it makes sense to sell it rather than keep it and deal with it. Items that require less expense, you're able to keep it. So says the Mishnah. Anything that works and eats, an ox, a donkey, let it work. and let it eat from what it produces, and therefore it's not really it's a net gain. You're not losing money, and therefore you keep it. Even that, by the way, you don't have to keep forever. There's a limit to how long you have to keep the aveda before you can sell. We'll see in the Gemara, but you still have to keep it for a longer period. For davish enayis vayichel, something which doesn't work, but it does eat, so it costs money, and it doesn't work, so every day it's depreciating its value, because whenever you're going to return the item to the Baal Aveda, you're going to deduct all the expenses, so he's going to be losing what he's getting back. Yimachar, that should be sold. Like the Pasuk says, Vashvesla, return to him, Rehech Tivshiv Enaloi, see to it how you can return it to him without letting it eat up its value. Says the Mishnah further, Mayhev Adamim, what should be with that money when you do sell it? What should be with the money that you receive for selling it? So obviously the money belongs to the Baal Aveda. What's the question? Question is, could the Shemer, could the guy who found the Aveda, could he utilize the money in between? Reb Tarfon Neimer, Yishtamash, he's able to use the money, Lefika Chamavdu, therefore if it gets lost, Chayav Echrisa, he's responsible to pay for it if it's lost. Reb Kivam Leishtamash, he can't use it, he just keeps it aside, Lefika Chamavdu, therefore it gets lost, Ein Chayav Echrisa, he's not Chayav to pay for it. The Gemara is going to open this up into the famous discussion we had above a comment, Perek HaKainis, whether or not a Shemer Aveda is considered a Shemer Sachar or Shemer Chinam. If it's a Shem Echidim, it gets lost, he's putter. And the simple way of reading our mission is, if you can't use it, you're like a Shem Echidim, and therefore you're putter. Whereas according to the Tafri, you could use it, makes you like a Shem Esachar, and therefore you're Chayiv. And Aveda, but the Gemara is going to, we don't really like that, because that's a Machlekes Rabba and Basif, and this is a Machlekes Tanayim. The Gemara is going to analyze it further. That'll be the big topic of the day. But before you get into the Gemara itself, a couple of major points on the Mishnah. First of all, the basic question the Farshim asks, is, looks like an animal that eats, but doesn't work, doesn't produce, sell it right away. Sell it right away, because it's just going to eat into the value that the owner of the item has. But what was this animal doing by the owner? Like a small animal, sheep, a goat, it doesn't work the fields, it doesn't produce, so sell it right away. But the owner had it, the owner that lost it, he had it, he was going to keep it, so what's the difference by the finder than by the owner? So the simple answer, maybe the Shita asks the question, the Shita explains that the owner perhaps has expansive amounts of fields and areas for the animals to pasture. So the food for the owner maybe was not expensive, it didn't cost the money. He'd have to go out and buy specifically feed for this animal. The finder, he's not busy with animals normally. He has to go spend money on buying feed for the animals, so the money he's spending is eating into the value of the animal, and therefore he sells it, because otherwise it's ruining it for the owner. It's depreciating the value. But the owner itself, it was perhaps worth it. Okay, that's the one of the mahalchim, that's one base mahalach. But then there's the very geshmak shayla in Chumash from the Mashiach Chachma. He has a shayla as follows. We're saying if the animal produces more than it costs, keep it. If we'll see in the Gemara, there's a limitation for a year, but still keep it. If it produces less than it costs, so it's constantly depreciating, then you sell it. What if two animals were lost clearly together? They were tied together. They're clearly a pair of animals. One animal produces more than it costs. One animal produces less than it costs. This total average between the two is, overall, it's producing more, they're producing more than they cost, right? But one animal, again, is losing money, one animal is making money. Frekti, Meshachach, Meshach, Shmach, Shaila. Do we say, we look at it and say, in this total Metzia that was found, these two animals, overall produces more than it costs, keep them both. If we keep them both for the Bailam, Bailam wants back his animals, he likes back his animals, keep them both and have them produce and use the, you know, it's not eating into the value, and let that cover the cost of the expense. Would you say no? The animal that produces a lot, obviously, and costs much less, keep that one. And the one that's in isolation, the one that's losing, sell that one. Ultimately, he brings beautiful dukim, Meshach and Devarim. He brings beautiful dukim in the Pesukim to say that you sell the one that's not producing, and you keep the one that's producing. And just because they're found together, doesn't make it one big metziah. It's considered separate animal, separate dinim, separate, it's two metziahs. And you keep the one that's producing, and you sell the one that's not producing, but Geshmak Hashayla from the Mesha Chachma. Okay, says the Gemara. Uloilam. Ask the Gemara, so if you have to keep, you keep it forever. No, I just basically Chaydish. Even then, you only keep it for 12 months. You didn't sign up to do this forever. For 12 months, you keep it, and then you sell it. Tana Mehachi, Kodom Shay Smaychal, anything which works and eats, going Parva Chamar. This is where we get the examples we said in the Mishnah. An ox and a donkey. They produce more than they eat typically. Some of the you deal with them for 12 months, Mekamelech, some demand. From there forward, you assess the value, meaning, and then you sell it, and you put the money aside for the Baal Aveda. Agolim v'siyachim, baby cows or baby donkeys. Then you only care for them for up to 3 months. After 3 months, they're already starting to eat more, they're more difficult to tend to, and they're still not producing so much. Then you sell them, and you put the money aside. Roosters and geese, well, I should say geese and roosters, you metapel with them for 30 days only. Afterwards, you sell it. A hen is treated like a behemagasa. Tarnagoyles, a hen is treated like a behemagasa, meaning like the cow and the donkey that you keep for 12 months. I guess because it produces eggs, you keep it for 12 months. Tanamiyachi, we learn a brisa at the back of Nachman. Tanagoyles, ubehemagasa, puts together Tanagoyles, behemagasa, betapam shem sechodesh, you keep it for 12 months. Mekamel, something may manechem, have 12 months, you don't have to be visited as a veda forever, you sell it and you keep the money aside for the balaveda. Agal mesiachim, young cows, or young donkeys, 30 days. Notice before we said 3 months, here we're saying 30 days. You put aside the money, you sell it, and you keep the money for the balavedim. Avazim, which we said before 30 days, anything which clearly is more expense and more stress than the schar that it produces, 3 days, not 30 days, 3 days, afterwards, you evaluate the money, you sell it, and then you keep the money aside for the Baal Veda. The Mar just asks, but we just pointed out, Kasha Agal M'syachim, Agal M'syachim, you have a stira in whether Agal M'syachim is 3 months or 30 days, and Avaz M'taragam, Avaz M'taragam, again, Avaz M'taragam also, is it 30 days or is it 3 days? We have Kasha on both of those comparisons in the Baises, says Gemara. Agal M'syachim, Agal M'syachim, Kasha. The two different shiurim given for the baby cows, baby donkeys, not shver, had to raya, had to petuma. It depends what type of care you're giving to them. In the brisa that says you care for them for up to 3 months is when they're being left to graze. The one that says 30 days is because you're fat, is the case where you're petima, you're fattening it up. Fattening up is the shortest man, only up to 30 days. It's much more expensive, more of a loss. Whereas grazing, you're just letting them graze, is less onerous, less of a loss, and therefore you keep it for up to 3 months. Avazim, tarigam, so both are true. It depends what you're doing with these animals. Avazim, tarigam, avazim, tarigam, namelikasha, one bryce said 30 days, one bryce said 3 days, not shver, habravre, habizutre. It depends if it's larger ones or smaller ones, and the Mepharshim argue which is which. Meaning Rashi seems to learn that the one that you keep for 3 days is the larger ones, which eat more, and therefore you'll keep for 3 days. The ones that are small eat less, you keep for 30 days. Other Rishonim say opposite, that the larger ones can go and get some food on their own. They go out and they peck food on their own, and therefore it's easier to tend to, so those you keep for 30 days. Smaller ones, which mamish, are totally on you. They don't get any food on their own. Those you only have to keep for 3 days. So two opposite malachim, which is which, but that's the chilek, big and small, is the chilek between the prices. We said, sorry? The benefits? Right, so what happens is, l'chayr, when produce more, good question, when produce more than it costs, what happens is the expenses of dealing with it goes to the, you deduct from the balaveda, when you give back the veda, but then he gets to keep the benefit, and the animal gets to keep it. That's part of your service, as the shem raveda of, l'chayr, you're doing the mitzvah. That's the l'chayr. V'sheina yisvaychol, we say the mitzvah that doesn't work, but eats, that you can sell. You should return it to him. See the property to return it to him that is not eating up the principal. One should not feed the value of the calf to the calves, or don't feed the value of the donkey to the donkeys. You're feeding up so value, it wouldn't make sense. Same idea. The value of the goose to the geese, or the value of the rooster to the rooster. The point is, if you're going to soak up all the value in the expenses of feeding it, the Baal Veda has nothing to get back. There's no point. And that's why you would sell it. So here's the big topic. What happens to the money that you get for the sale? Rav Tarfon says you could use it, and therefore if it gets lost, you're mechuyav to pay. And Akiva says you cannot use it, and therefore if it gets lost, you're not mechuyav to pay. So what's the machlokes over here? Top of Chav Tes Min Aleph, El Kashtamish Bem, when you're using it. The machlokes here is when using the money. But what if he didn't use the money, Imav de Pater, then he's certainly Pater. Now, very, very key Taich over here. Typically, kiddushdamish means when you're using it. Look at Rashi, third line from the top of the page. Kiddushdamish says Rashi, lav davka doesn't mean your mamish using it. Not machlekes, it's not saying machlekes when you're using it, but if you didn't use your putter, we mean to say as follows: El mishum schar shimush kamar meishem mutter l'shtamish ben. Big change in the words. Adkan, we go over again now. Adkan, we're only talking about elikas l'shtamish. Rashi explaining means when you're allowed to use it. Don't machlekes for tafrik is when you're allowed to use it. Does that make you meaning you since you're allowed to use it, therefore you chayef if anything damage happens or not? But if you we're not allowed to use, that's what it means. In a case where you have no right to use it, avalanish damage doesn't mean you didn't use it. If you had rights to use it, you chose not to, that's still the same thing. If you didn't have rights to use it, then everyone's going to agree, you putter. Not so fast. Let's be a kasher basif. Ditmar, shayma veda, rabar mikshem mikhinim, rabbeitz mikshem besachar. We have, this is before we put that before, this is machlekes, whether every shayma veda is a status of a shayma besachar or a shayma mikhinim. We're saying over here, machlekes from Tafrei Kiva is since you have rights to use it or don't have rights to use it, therefore you have to pay if it's something happens it gets lost or not. But it sounds like everyone agrees if you would not have rights to use it, you would not be machlekes to pay. But that's machlekes according to Rabbits Kvaldik. A shomer aveidas amazon has a din like a shomer chinam, and a shomer chinam is putter on if it gets lost. Rabbi Yisrael holds a shomer aveda automatically the status of a shomer sachar. If it's a shomer sachar, even if you cannot use the money, you're a shomer sachar, and a shomer sachar is chayev and aveda, so you should be chayev. How is Rabbi Yosef going to shtim with this machlokes tanaim? It's not like him. It's not like Rabbi Yosef. Now, just to remind ourselves, why is it that a shomer aveda, according to Rabbi Yosef, is a shomer sachar? According to Rabbi, it's very simple. He picked up something. No one. He was not being paid for it. He picked up something as a gesture, as a favor, as a mitzvah to watch Yadam's item. And therefore, he's a shomer chinam. He's an unpaid watcher. Classic unpaid watcher. According to Rabbi Yosef, why it's called shomer sachar? So Rashi brings the idea of shomer sachar is because Yosef a mitzvah is patur a mitzvah, which the Gemara explains over there that he's patur from giving the pruta l'ani. If ani comes to the front door, he's patur from giving the ani a pruta. So he gets that schar, he gets that benefit of saving money, and therefore that schar makes him a shomer sachar. Which the first discuss, it's only when you're mamish being Isaac, if you're not being Isaac mitzvah, then if you can do both, then you still have to do both. They discuss what the parameters of that is. Fine, but that's one malach. One malach is that he's Isaac mitzvah, part of mitzvah, and he saves the pruta l'ani. Another general malach in why a Rabbi Yosef would say that a shomer sachar, that a shomer aveda has the name of a shomer sachar, is because he's doing the mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah of the Torah. And we don't mean, therefore he's getting schar, and the schar he's getting shemai, he makes him a shemai sachar. Let's say that the schar is not part of the cheshbon. The point is, but the whole idea of a shemai chinam versus shemai sachar is, a shemai chinam is voluntarily offering to do work. Shemai sachar is, he's also, it's his choice, not being forced, but he's doing it in exchange for payment. A person who's mitzvah and mitzvahs, the fact that he's mitzvah, that's more daimach to shemai sachar. Forget about the schar shemai, not the payment. It's like an obligation. It's like a, as opposed to just a pure favor. Right, the obligation is because I'm a yid and I'm shomer Torah mitzvahs and I'm obligated to take care of my friend's thing. It is taka a favor, but the point is, it's not like my friend asks me a favor and I just say, yeah, I'll watch it, no problem. I'll be shomer chinam. This is more than that. Therefore, it's like a shomer sachar. Okay, but either way, the question is, according to Rabbi Yosef, whether or not the guy can use the money, he's a shomer sachar. If he's a shomer sachar, he should be chayiv. If there's aveda, that's the most kasha. I'm a Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef will answer you. B'gnev aveda k'amalei pligi de chayiv. Everyone agrees. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Tarfin and our Mishnah both agree that legab b'gnev aveda abada the shomer is taka chayiv. Like my sheet, Rabbi Yosef, they have a din of a shomer sachar. Keep pligi b'ainsim de shayel. The machlekes says if there's an einus and the status of a shayel. Meaning, do we treat the shomer aveda like a shayel who's chayev and einsim? That's the machlekes. Rabbi Tarfon suffers shayel, but on the lish demushim megavayo. Rabbi Tarfon holds that, but allow the balave the maitse, the guy who's watching the aveda, to use the money once he sells the item for money, since he could use it. Havle shayel, he's like a shayel, and therefore he's chayev even for einsim. That's what we mean in our mishnah. Rabbi Kiva suffers shayel, but on the lish megavayo, and he'll chayev shayelayo. He didn't get permission. He didn't have permission to use the money. Since he had permission to use the money, he's not a shayel. If he's not a shayel, he's going to be exempt on einsim. Yachi, ask Gemara if that's the pshat. The whole machlekes says the guy be einsim. Lefikach to Amar Rabbi Kiva Lamli. What did Rabbi Kiva say? What's the lashon of lefikach? Lefikach, if the money is lost or stolen, you're not chayev. The Gemara explains. If we're talking about b'gnei aveda, so how do you tell Rabbi Kiva? I'm going to shtamish b'hem. That's what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Kiva holds you can't use the money, and therefore lefikach amavdu in chayev chrisan. If it gets lost, you don't have to pay for it. What's the chiddush? Because I would have thought that it's a shomer sachar, like Rabbi Yosef. And therefore, Gneiv Aved Mechayev, you still have Gneiv Aveda. Kamash Balan, Lefikach, we're stressing Lefikach, according to Bikiva, that you cannot use it. Yipater, even Gneiv Aveda, it's Kishmak, what we're stressing Lefikach. Hash, Amr, Lenish Tamish, but now you see you can't use it. And therefore, so the way to read the Mishnah in Rabbi Kiva saying, because you can't use the lefikach, yapata, because it's also stolen, is very gishmak if you learn Malik Yabasif. If you learn that it's not a Shemer Aveda, it's not a Shemer Sacher, sorry, you're not a Shemer Sacher, and therefore you're pata Gnev Aveda, and that's the stress of lefikach. I would have thought you chayev in Gnev Aveda because you're a Shemer Sacher, Kamash, well, you're not. But if you go like Rabbi Yabasif is explaining, that the whole verdict over here is whether you call the Shail or not. If you say Gnev Aveda, Abad Rabbi Kiva, because you're Chayev by Gnev Aveda. You take a Chayev. You're a Shem Esach, you're a Chayev. And what's the Machlekes over here? Keep the lines of the Shail. Machlekes the Gavi Shail. If that's how you explain it. My Lefika to Rabbi Kiva. What's the Mishnah stressing? Lefika, according to Rabbi Kiva, they can't use it. Therefore, you putter on Einsim, because you're not a Shail. Hachem by Elamisti, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Kiva, I remember Levi Shamish Pam. Just say you can't use it. Once you can't use it, of course you're not a Shail. You have to stress Lefika. Meaning, again, if Rabbi Kiva just says you can't use it, and then you want to tell me, and not only can you not use it, you're not a Shemer Sacher, and therefore you're putting the name Aveda, okay, so you're adding another Chiddush in that line. But to tell me you can't use it, and therefore you're not a Shoyal, obviously if I can't use it, I'm not a Shoyal. Says Gemara. It should simply say Rabbi Kiva holds you can't use it. Vana Yadana. And I'll know automatically the Kiva Delay Yishtamishram, since I cannot use it, I'm not a Shoyal. And therefore, I won't be chayev. This shemir aved will not be chayev in a bechrayis. So back to the question. That was a long elaboration. Lefikach to Rabbi Kiva Lameli. Who needs the lefikach of Rabbi Kiva according to where Rabbi Yosef's learning? Again, Bishlam, if you hold at the machlekes is whether or not it's considered. The machlekes is whether or not yichayev for gneiv of aveda. Forgive of it itself. So that's the chiddush. Rabbi Kiva was saying you can't use it, and since you can't use it, you're putter not just on sheil on einzim. You're putter even on gneva aveda, and not like Rabbi Yosef who says that you have a din of a shemir sacher. But according to Rabbi Yosef himself, who's not saying that, he's saying homachlekes is the gabi sheila, the gabi einzim. If you're not allowed to use it, of course you're not a sheil. So who needs any more elaboration? Answer the Gemara. You're right. It's lav dafka. Since there are tarfin where you can use it, we stress, since you could use it, you're a shayel, and you're chayev in einsim. So Rabbi Kiva, we also, for symmetry, symmetrical purposes, we say also, since you cannot use it, you're not a shayel, and you're part of einsim. But that would be fairly obvious. We talk, I didn't have to speak out that part. Says Gemara, lefikach of tarfin lomli. Still, why didn't you lefikach of tarfin? Why did you need that one? Emmer explains, hachamar. It's as if he actually used it. Meaning the point is, whether he uses it or not, his ability to use that money already makes him a shayel. Whether he actually went and borrowed the money and spent it, invested it, do whatever he needs to do with it, it makes no difference. The fact that he's able to is enough, and therefore, he's chayev in achrayah. So that's gishmak. That's an explanation why we said the fikah of our tarfin, and once we said the fikah of our tarfin, we said Rabbi Kiva, even though, according to Yosef, certainly, it's not such a chiddush. Says Gemara, still, the Abduktani, you're tying that the case of the Mishnah was there was an einus. It was an einus, and Rabbi Tarfin saying, according to Tarfin, you chayev reitz him, according to Rabbi Kiva, you pater reitz him. But the Mishnah's lashon is, if the money got lost, that's not einus. The money got lost, you Rabbi Yosef hold, that according to everyone, you chayev. Even Rabbi Kiva would say, you chayev. Our Mishnah's talking about a case of Abdu, and we have Machlaikis. We're saying, Abdu, according to Rabbi Tarfin's chayev, according to Rabbi Kiva's pater, according to Rabbi Yosef, Abdu in Rabbi Kiva should also be chayev because you're Shem Zachar. The Abduktani, says Gemara, Kidder Rabba, top of maze, Kidder Rabba. That goes, Rabbi Yosef will learn Avdu like Rabba. Tam Rabba, Nignivu, Belista Mezuyim. Rabba elsewhere says, when it says Nignivu, it means Belista Mezuyim. Stolen doesn't mean regular ganif. It means armed robbers, which is, of course, more of an itis. Avdu, what does Avdu mean? Shetava, Sfinasai, Bayam. Avdu, even though it typically means just Stamazai got lost, Avdu could also be a case where the boat sank at sea. The boat sank in the sea. That's what Avzu can mean. In which case, again, that's considered more of an einus. So the case over here, even though you use lashon of avdu, the case is an einus. Amar Yudam Shmuel Halacha Tarfin. Shmuel says Halacha is like Reb Tarfin. That what? That the person who the mitzi who found the aveda is allowed to use the money in the interim. Says the Marnas story. In the hands of Rechava was this money that belonged to Yisayimim. Askei the Reisiv came from the Reisiv. Amalei, Malish Amusha Begavayo. So he asked Reisiv, "Can I utilize the money that he was watching a pekadim for the Yisayimim?" Amalei, Hachem Arvidu Meshmuel, Hachem Tarfin. We just paskin. We say paskin Hachem Tarfin that yes, the Shemar Aveda can use the money. Amale Abaye. For Avit Marla, did we say about this? Amar Chabay Amar Vuna. Leshan Al B'me Aveda. Hayel V'tarachba. To be a Veda you could use, you're being matriach. This is really to Shuli's point before. What's this guy getting for all his work? What's he getting for his work? So to be a Veda, you're being matriach. There's also leniency. Let him use the money. Avo Mayas Aveda, but Avo. Mayas Aveda. If he's holding Stam, Mayas Aveda, Tlav Tarch Bulai, where he was matriach, Lachari, he wouldn't be able to use those. And watching the money of the Yisayim of the orphans is like Mayas Aveda, so why would you say you could use it? Leave, they're not allowing me to be matter this to you. Leave, he's not letting me be matter to you. 2 points of this. First of all, what's the Havmina? We're talking about a Veda that guy finds, and here the Shaila was by a shamer of money of Yisayim. What does that have to do with Aveda? So first, we're going to explain that we're talking about a case where it was like an Aveda. The case of Yisayim has to be somehow resembling the case of Aveda. It wasn't some regular case where he was just a pichapas on their money. It was somehow related to a case of, the case over there was also related to Aveda. But the Mara's answer still is, by an Aveda that you're metapa with, that you're dealing with, animal, you're tending to it, that's when you're allowed to use the money when you sell it. But Stam is a money that you find, you can't just go use that money, and there's no better than that. That was the Mara's deflection. But the other point the verse discusses, Rav Yosef said to Rechava, you ask me Shaila, I'm trying to be matter, but leave, they're not letting me be matter. The word discusses that if someone goes to Rav, and the Rav says, you know, to Bezdin, and that one of the Bali, the Dean of Bezdin says, I really want to pass like your side of the equation, but what can I do? The other side of them, they sided with the other litigant. They sided with the other side. The Mark quotes a pasuk, that's a terrible person revealing sides. You're not supposed to do that. Over here, seemingly you have the same idea. He's like, he's saying, I want to be matter, but they didn't allow it. So why was that? Why is that okay? Why is that fly in the face of the Gemara? So the first explanation is very simple. Over here, it happened in front. They were all standing in together. It happened in front of the person. Rechava asked for psak. Rabbi Yosef gave a psak, and Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, presumably in the presence of Rechava, no, your psak is no good. So Rabbi Yosef wasn't really, he wasn't revealing anything to Rechava. Rabbi Yosef says, what can I do? He's answering it. He wasn't trying to put him down. He said, what can I do? He's answering it. It's the issue is when the other Rav wasn't there, or you don't know who pasked what, and then instead of getting a united front, you say, I want to side with you. I want to be matter. What can I do? He's answering. That you're not supposed to do. But if it's in front of everyone sees what happened, there's no secrets here, then there wouldn't be an issue. That's one of the answers they give why Agamara doesn't compare to that case. Talk to Mishnah. Mata Svarim. One who finds Svarim. Kareb, now, this is a very interesting point. Back in the day, Svarim were very hard to come by. There's no printing press. They were very, I don't want to say they're more valuable, they're more unique. Ironically enough, back in the day, tefillin was considered less unique than Svarim. Because everyone had tefillin, they need tefillin. I mean, maybe not as easily as people have today. People have more than one pair of tefillin. But the point is, tefillin were more commonly found than Svarim. That'll actually come up in the Gemara, I don't forget to today. That'll come up in the Gemara. But Svarim were like to us, Svarim, you know, with the printing press, Svarim, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's a major proliferation of Svarim. Okay, Matzah Svarim. One finds Svarim. What should he do? How does he care for it? He should open it and read from it once every 30 days because it would be a concern. If you leave it closed up, it could decay and get ruined. So you open up, tear it out. If he doesn't know how to read, then Gaila, you should just roll it from side to side and to end, to again, to air it out. He shouldn't learn anything fresh from it because learning from it fresh, again, using it in a way where you learn something fresh, you may actually damage it, and that's also not allowed. Nor should he read with someone else, because we're scared that he may want to see one part of the sefer, he may want to see another part of the sefer, they may pull on it and tear it, and it could lead to damage. Matzuksus, if one finds clothing. Menara, shake it out once every 30 days. Spread it out, again, for what it needs, that it shouldn't disintegrate, it shouldn't, shrink or disintegrate. Don't spread it out to like show off his fancy garments, his fancy clothing, when people are coming. That he shouldn't do. And if showed off in his house, silver or copper kalim, that are found as naveda, he actually should make use of it, but only for what's better for it. The amount of usage that's needed to keep it in shape, that's what he should use. That's the type of usage he should do with it. But he should make sure not to use it in a way that he wears it out. Gold kalim or glass kalim, don't touch them. When it comes, because those maintain their status and using them can damage them. Matzah sack, a kupa, if he finds a sack or a box, anything which he wouldn't pick it up when it was his own, he shouldn't pick it up. This lechura is the famous idea of a zakein ve'enai lefi chvaydei. So the modern day equivalent of Hershey Schechter used to give an example: if a regular prestigious person, a certain Talmud Chacham, even any person of any you know, regular self-respect walks down the street and sees an undergarment, it's an Aveda, but you don't have to pick it up. You don't have to pick it up to be walking around with someone's underwear. Is that so? That's Zakev and Fichoide. That's what this idea is referring to. Okay, we'll see more about that. Amar Shmuel. Let's quickly start the Gemara drop. Hamayt Tzifil Meshuk, one who finds Tzifil in the marketplace. Some Demei Manichim Alter. He assesses the value, sells them right away. Now, the Gemara's kasha is, why is it different than Tzfarim? Why are you selling the tefillin and just giving the value back to the owner? Why is it different than Tzfarim? Ravina, asks for the Mishnah. Matzah Tzfarim, Karim, Ma'achash, Hashoim. You have to tend to it. You read from it once every 30 days. If any liquids are not to read from it, Gailin, you roll it. Gailin in, you roll it. Some of the Me'am and Nechamla, you don't say, oh, you don't want to read from it, so just sell it and give back the money. You keep it and tend to it because the one who owns it, the Baal Aveda, really needs it. It's hard to replace it. Says Gemara Marbaye, Tefillin, Bei Bar Chavu, Mishkech Shichi, Tzfarim, Shichi. Tefillin are easy to replace. Then you find tefillin. So the guy just wants to make sure to get back his value, sell the tefillin, give him money, and they'll buy a new pair of tefillin. Tefillin you're able to find, right? These days, tefillin you got to order a year in advance. Svarim were hard to find, and therefore, better to watch for the guy and give it back. Mamash, this idea how the world has changed. Okay. Tanu Rabbanon. Hashoyel Sefer Torah Mechaveri. One who borrows a Sefer Torah from his friend, Harezu Leishlen Lacher, he should not lend it to someone else. The person borrows Sefer Torah should lend someone else. The Gemara is going to say later, it's obvious. Of course, he can't borrow, can't lend it. The Gemara is going to say it's because of up to the following cases. But he should open it and read from it. But not something he's learning for the first time, which he may end up using it more than regular reading, and it may end up wear and tear on the sefer. Okay. V'chein hamafkei sefer Torah zechaver. One leaves the sefer Torah as a pekadon. By his friend, Goyle Kol Shemas Chodesh. He should make sure to roll it from end to end once every 12 months. It should be going from end to end. Paisach Vikarabai, he could open and read from it in Meshvila Paschai. If you open it for his own purposes, Aser, it's Aser. So he could read it, he could open it and read from it, but if you open it for his own purposes, it's Aser. Gemara's going to explain those two things seem to be a stira. He's allowed to read from it, but if he opens it for his own purposes, he can't. I think you say he can read from it. We'll see exactly what that means. Simcha Zaymer, Bechadash, Anu Sefer Torah, Shleishim Yayim. Roll it once every 30 days. But Yashin, only if it's there, you take a good roll it once, Shemas Chodesh, every 12 months, and that's sufficient. Or Zaka member, Echazev, Echazev, Shemas Chodesh. Either way, it's gotta be 12 months. It's really what the Tanakhama said. Tanakhama said 12 months. Simcha said a Chodesh, a Chilik, that Chodesh is new one is Slash Miriam, but old one is 12 months. And it goes back to 12 months, which is what Tanakhama said. The Marzin say, actually say, we'll get ahead of ourselves. The Marzin say that Enachami tweak the gears and say, Rabbi says, either way, you do 30 days. So you have Tanakhama saying, always 12 months. We have Rabbi, we have Simcha saying new 30 days, old is 12 months, and then we have the Rabbi Lezmer Yaakov saying everything's 30 days. Amamar. Let's just go a little further. Let's at least get to some of the two dots lower down. Amamar, we learned in the Bryce we just quoted. Hashal Sefer Torah Mechaveri, Arez Lechon La'acher. A person who borrows Sefer Torah from his friend, he shouldn't lend it to someone else. That's everything, right? The person who borrows can't lend. Ma'iri Sefer Torah, Filim Kovin Lami. Everything that you borrow, you're not allowed to go lend to someone else. Says Gemara, and then the first part of that, even more than that, even things that are not easily damaged. You don't just borrow and lend, you borrow something and then lend it out. Dabar Shem Lakish, Kanshan Rebbe, Eina Shoyl, Rashoy, Lashel. Rebbe taught a psak, this is going on the Mar and Gittin, Chavtes, that a Shoyl, a borrower, is not able to lend. So we find the concept of a borrower can lend, so why is it unique to have to say potato? Says Gemara, Vain Sechar Rasaskar, and a Sechar, one who's renting, can't rent to someone else. Right? You're the one that they agreed to deal with, rent it or borrow it, and that's it, you can't give it to someone else. The Chiddush is talking about Sefer Torah. I would have thought that people are happy that mitzvahs will be known with their money, and therefore people utilizing the Sefer Torah would be a benefit, and therefore it's permissible. Kamash Balan, we still can't assume, unless he gives explicit permission, that he allows you to lend it further or to rent it further. He opens the Sefer Torah, reads from it. Pshita. The guy borrowed the Sefer Torah. He's allowed to open and read from it. What then? Why would he borrow it if not for reading it? Sefer Tzichalei, so he points it out when we read the Baisa, it's up to the Sefer. We want to spell out, you can't learn from it. You can't learn a new thing from it because then you may come to wear and tear that you can't do. So we say, but you're allowed to read from it. So really saying you read, of course there's a bunch you can read from it. That was really a segue to say, but you can't learn from it for the first time. One is mafkir Sefer Torah by his friend. You should roll once every 12 months. He's able to open and read from it. My avid de gabe. Ask the Gemara, why is it right to read from it? He's a shemir pekadon. Why is it just because you left me something to watch? I can just use it. This too. In Mishilei Paschai also we said if he's doing it for himself, he opening it. It's aser. I mean, you just said one line before we spoke out this question. It's a Paischa v'karle. You're able to open up and read from it. Which one is it? Hachi kamar im kishu gailalai paischai v'karyabai. If when he's rolling it up for itself once every 2 months, he wants to read it at that time, mutter, no problem. Im b'shvilei paischai, if he's opening just for himself, stamina to read, not as part of the 12-month rolling, then it's usher, then it'll be usher for him to read from it. Okay, let's go a little further. Simcha zemer b'chadash leishim yayim. A new Sefer Torah rolled from end to end once every 30 days. B'yashin Shemus Chodesh. An old Sefer Torah once every 12 months is enough. And the version we had in the Bais was Rav Yaakov Emer, Echaz Echaz Shemus Chodesh. Either way, 12 months is the Shir. And we asked for Rav Yaakov and Tanakama. Tanakama already said 12 months is the Shir. And then came along Simchas in between. And then he went to a new Tana, Rav Yaakov, who just mimicked what Tanakama says. And Mara says, no, you're right. Ela Ema, Rav Yaakov Emel, Echaz Echaz Shleishim Yayim. In the case, all you have is 30 days. Oh, I'm sorry, you have to roll it once every 30 days. Not 12 months, once every 30 days. So it's the third sheet. So we have Tanakama saying every 12 months. You have Simcha saying it depends. New, every 30 days. Old is talking 12 months. And then you have Rav Elazar Yaakov saying it's always going to be 30 days. Now, we said this back in the Mishnah. Now the Baisa is in the Mishnah. Avayim Abayim Tekhili said, you shouldn't learn from the Sefer Torah the first time. Learning from the first time is a problem. It's light because it's with the wear and tear. It can get damaged. And furthermore, you shouldn't read with someone else at the same time. For how many? We have a stira. Like a parsha, a person should not read, if find the Sefer Torah, shouldn't read a parsha and then review that same parsha again. Like a parsha with targum. Nor should he read a parsha and then give over the targum. And nor should he open more than three columns at a time. And three people should not be reading from it if they're reading in one krach, one volume at the same time. Make a diak. Ha, shnayim. But if three people are reading from two different parts, then you're allowed to do it. Our Mishnah said even two people from one the different parts of the same Dura cannot read at the same time. It depends if it's one inyan, two inyanim. Our Mishnah says two people reading one is a problem, is when it's one parsha. It's one parsha, each going to pull towards themselves, that's a problem. Ironically enough, when it's two separate parshas, that's very good. One's reading his parsha, and one's reading his parsha. They each reading their own parsha. They're not going to pull it to themselves because each one's reading his own parsha, and they're separate. Therefore, it's not going to be a concern. Okay, matzah ksus. Should we go further? Let's stop here. I think it's a good spot to stop. You know what? It's only 8:02. Let's go for another minute and a half. Okay, let's stop over here. I'll pick up here tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.